Post, October 7, 1978, edition entitled The General with a Phantom Army. Mima have exposés the specious arguments used by Ariel Sharon and Menachem Begin about the massive Aliyah that will settle the West Bank. The following is, and most Israelis, and our politicians most of all, have always kept up a lot of sanctimonious pretense about Aliyah. Like God and motherhood, everybody has always been for it. There has been little realistic thinking of what the prospects of significant immigration really are. There has been little practical effort to maximize the relatively limited existing potential. More importantly, what seems to have been forgotten not only by Ariel Sharon and Hanan Porat, but by the chief ideologue of Greater Israel, Menachem Begin himself, is that in the entire history of Zionism and of the State of Israel, there has never been a mass immigration, except in the wake of catastrophe. Jews motivated by ideals, whether secularly Zionist or religious, have always come in a trickle of small numbers. And many of them, simply because they were idealists, often became discouraged and left when reality soured their dreams. Even when catastrophe overwhelmed entire Jewish communities, the majority of them sought refuge not in Israel, but elsewhere. Perhaps no more than 60,000 German Jews out of a total of some 300,000 who left Germany in 1933-39 could have come to Israel. Perhaps the British would not have allowed in more. But many of them did not even consider the possibility of coming here. The same is true of other Jewish today. Physical disaster does not threaten Jews anywhere. Even if it did, in one country or another, there would always be a preference for a refuge other than Israel. Even among Russian Jews, who are the most persecuted today in the national sense, 50-60% of those who are allowed to leave the Soviet Union choose to go to a place other than Israel. We may not like these facts, but we cannot ignore them. We must realize that, the world being what it is, we cannot expect any large-scale immigration from the diaspora. If, unpredictably, large numbers of Jews anywhere should be expelled and turned to Israel, we would of course take them in. But meanwhile, we must settle down to being a Jewish state of 4 million by the end of the century. Emphasis supplied. The above article from the Jerusalem Post was written 11 years ago, at a time when more than half of the Jews allowed to leave the Soviet Union decided to go to some country other than Israel. Today the immigration situation has deteriorated to the point that in some years more Jews are leaving Israel than are arriving. More than 300,000 former Israelis live in the US and Canada. The latest figures available for 1988, Jerusalem Post, June 20, 1988, show that 90% of Jews leaving the Soviet Union refused to go to Israel. The situation has become so alarming that the Likud government has put into effect a plan to force Jews leaving the Soviet Union to go to Israel. This is done by putting them on a plane bound for Israel and allowing no stopover. The term refusenik now has a new meaning. Time magazine, November 22, 1986, reports on the problem in an article entitled Soviet Jews, Israel Wants Them All, from which the following has been excerpted. Let our people go has been the compelling slogan of massive campaign to win for the USSR's 3 million Jews the right of free emigration. Yielding reluctantly to worldwide pressure, the Kremlin has granted exit permits to about 125,000 Jews since 1970. No other Soviet minority has been allowed to leave the country in any significant numbers. Halfway house. To the dismay and embarrassment of Israeli officials, a growing number of Russian Jews are reluctant to go to Israel. While the vast majority of refugees in the early 1970s went to Israel, 59% of those who arrived at the halfway house for immigrants in Vienna last month expressed a desire to settle in the US. Now a long simmering dispute between Israelis and some Jewish organizations over the destination of the refugees may jeopardize the future of Jewish emigration. From the Soviet Union. The diaspora and Eretz Israel. To Israeli officials, the refugees' lack of interest in becoming citizens of the Jewish state seems like rank ingratitude and an affront to Zionist faith. Unable to stem the tide of about 10,000 Russian Jews who have already emigrated to the US, the Israeli government has moved to force most refugees in the future to come to Israel. As the Israelis explain it, their basic problem is with the way station in Vienna, where Russian Jews arrive in the West by train. nearly all emigrants must travel on Israeli visas to meet Soviet requirements for exit. Those wishing to proceed to the US, however, may stop in Vienna and request rerouting to the US. They apply to the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, HIAS, and other American humanitarian organizations for financial and practical assistance. These America-bound refugees receive money raised nationwide among American Jews. The US government, since 1973, has contributed $13 million to their support. Some angry Israelis have dubbed those who seek this aid defectors or dropouts. Josef Almagy, chairman of the Jewish Agency, which supervises all immigration to Israel, complains that those who drop out enjoy better conditions. They can stay in Europe 3 to 6 months at the expense of American agencies, that then get them refugee visas, to go on to America, Canada, or wherever. An early Israeli attempt to stop the dropouts involved trying to establish an air link between Moscow and Tel Aviv. In that way, Russian Jews might be flown directly to Israel, thus eliminating the Vienna stopover and the refugees' option to go elsewhere, emphasis supplied. An article in the Jerusalem Post of June 18, 1988, expressed dissatisfaction in the manner that US Jewish leaders are dealing with the problem. The article is entitled, "Erase Disgrace of Dropouts." US Jewish leaders must be confronted fearlessly by Israelis, and told that Soviet Jews seeking to leave the USSR on Israeli visas must come to Israel. The disgrace of the mass exodus of Soviet Jews under the guise of immigrating to Israel must cease immediately, Absorption Minister Jakub Tsir insisted. The struggle for Soviet Jewry, he continued, is a national, Zionist endeavor of the first order. The benefits extended to former Soviet Jews by the US government and the enticements offered them by US Jewry place Israel in a position of cynical competition with that Jewry, Tsir asserted. The real crunch will probably come next year, however, as the number of Russian Jews emigrating to the Golden Medina continues to climb, and as US government funding for refugee resettlement begins to drop. HIAS, the Hebrew Immigration Aid Society, estimates that, in 1989,25-30,000 Russian Jews will apply for admission to the US as refugees. A large portion of what HIAS, the JDC and Federation spend on Soviet Jewish immigrants has come from the US federal budget. In the past, when the number of Jewish refugees admitted to the US rose, Jewish organizations would run to Congress for additional dollars, emphasis supplied. Why is it that so many Soviet Jewish emigres refuse to go to Israel, and by a wide margin, prefer the US instead? As long ago as July 1979, the Los Angeles Times, July 6 edition, published an article in which Alexander Dranov, who had emigrated from the Soviet Union in 1978, expressed his opinion regarding the feelings and attitudes of the Jewish emigres. The following are excerpts from his interesting explanation. Many Israelis cannot understand why it is that many Soviet Jews do not wish to emigrate to Israel, why it is that many seem to lack patriotic feelings for their historical motherland, why it is that many seem to possess materialistic ideas about America. I would like to explain. The most compelling reason for emigrating from the Soviet Union is to get away from an oppressive society, oppressive not only to Jews, though to the Jews more than any others, but oppressive also in all the countless ways that you don't have to be Jewish to experience. Perhaps the chief form of oppression is simply the constant shortage of anything making a good normal life: food, money, clothes, cars, apartments, information, the hope for a better future. In addition, Israel's geographic position is not particularly attractive to many Soviet Jews. To many, Israel does not seem to be Western enough, and, indeed for Soviet Jews, particularly those from developed urban centers like Leningrad, Moscow, and Kyiv, Israel seems almost Oriental. The climate is another factor. Many Soviet Jews are simply afraid of the heat of the deserts that make up much of Israel's territory. In America, they are convinced the climate is more moderate. The diaspora and Eretz Israel, even more important, is the image that many Soviet Jews have of Israel as a country, that is less than